The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to another UFC Buzz podcast. I'm Gareth A. Davis. It is UFC 227 this weekend. Several of my all-time favourites on the card. It's the Staples Center. It's Los Angeles. It's California, of course. I'm here in California. My trusty cohort is also here in California. He's down. He's been down in Los Angeles today with the fighters. It's the one and only Jim Edwards, MMA journalist. Joined me on the show before, and he's become a staple of this UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill. Very good evening to you, Jim.
Good evening, Gareth. It's been an eventful day already, but I'm looking forward to talking through the fights with you today.
Yeah, we're going to look. We're going to look at the prelim card: Pedro Munhoz against Brett Johns, our very own Welsh Brett Johns. Fighting his way through Los Angeles, isn't it? But we're going to look at the main card as well. Cub Swanson, Renato Moicano, Demetrius Johnson, of course, defending his flyweight title. The record-breaking Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson against Henry Cejudo, the brilliant wrestler turned mixed martial artist. And on the top of the card, the main event, two of my favourite fighters in mixed martial arts. The one and only TJ Dillashaw, champion, of course, of the bantamweight division, against Cody Garbrandt, whose body does not have many spaces left for tattoos. We'll come to that later. First of all, Jim, lots of rumour mill in the mixed martial arts world at the moment about the comeback of the one and only, the Mac, could be back on October the 6th in Las Vegas against Khabib the Mauler. Nurmagomedov, I'm going to call him, the bear hustler. I've been hearing it from significant sources. I know you have already. We've spoken about this off air. I think it's 75-25. We're going to get this announcement in the next few days. And I understand that the Conor McGregor may even be in LA on Friday and possibly even at the weigh-ins or the press conference in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so I mean, that's what we've been hearing here in Los Angeles. Like you, I think you've heard from a number of people already that Conor is expected to be here for that press conference on Friday, and I think we're going to have the return of the Mac, as they say. I think he will be here. I think he'll be here with Khabib, and I think we'll have that fight signed. All signs point towards October 6th. I think there are two dates, I guess, on the table there, October 6th in Las Vegas or December 29th, and it appears they've plumped for the earlier ones. So, you know, fingers crossed this does all come together. I think we're anxiously waiting the return of McGregor. I think it's been a very, very long time since we last saw him. I think UFC 205, when he fought Eddie Alvarez, it'll be nearly 2 years.
Yeah, so 23 months. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Since that amazing left hand put Alvarez down. Since that amazing left hand put Alvarez down, it was almost like a comic book. Kabang, kaboosh, karang, kwak, thwack, whoosh, bam, boom. It was unbelievable that night. We were both there, of course, and it was an extraordinary moment because people thought Eddie Alvarez was going to give Conor McGregor some tremors in the stand-up. Truth is, and he showed it that night, and it reminded me, the terror on the face of Dennis Siver, the terror on the face of Diego Brandão, the terror on the face of Dustin Poirier, the terror on the face of everyone. And I would include Nate Diaz in that, realizing that McGregor is impervious to pain. Yes, he can be beaten like any mortal, like any man, and as anyone can in MMA, but his punches are delivered from places that people do not see coming. And as they say in fight sports, certainly in striking, the punches that knock you out are the ones you don't see coming. And that's what we're going to see against Khabib Nurmagomedov. Unless the Russian, or the Dagestani rather, can grind him to the ground and pin him to the mat, which he's actually said he's going to do in the last couple of days, Jim.
Said he's going to rearrange his face and make sure he's never the same again, which is, again, I think it's an intriguing fight. You just laid it out there perfectly. Can Connor, place that left hand on the chin of the Russian before he can close the distance too much and just grind him against the cage and eventually take him down? So it's intriguing. It's that kind of stylistic matchup we've seen a few times before, and we've seen it play out a few different ways before. So we've seen Khabib get hit before by strikers not as imperious as Conor McGregor, but we've also seen Conor McGregor put on his back a few times and struggle to get up. So again, like, we're maybe putting the car before the horse here, but it's just too much not to get excited about, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I just can't wait for this to actually happen.
Yeah, exactly. We're all going to be there. The hordes are going to be there. We haven't had that atmosphere around a UFC event for a very long time. And I thought Hamburg last week was very flat, and it was almost, the assassination almost of Shogun Hua by Anthony Smith, or Anthony Hamilton, as I think Dan Hardy called him on the commentary at one point. But it was like feeding an old wounded animal to a hungry lion. And, you know, I looked at Stefan Struve, he didn't look great. I looked at some of those European guys that have been good for a long time. Nick Hine looked very tired. There needs an injection of something. And when Conor comes back, it just lifts the whole sport globally. There's something about him. I put out a little video earlier on today. There is genius in that man's bones, you know. It's as simple as that. And, you know, we saw it against Michael Johnson, against Khabib. A lefty has success against Khabib. He can say all he wants that he wanted to see what it was like being hit by the left hand or peppered with the jab, but it was mainly the left hand nonsense. Yes, he might want to rearrange his face. That's what we're in. This is the hurt business. You know, this is Picasso's cubism. If you can turn a normal face into a cubist picture, that's what you do. That's what this fight sport's about. Like you say, I really hope it happens, because if we do get the agreement on it, the whole sport will be lifted. Bellator are growing in droves at the moment. 24 signings in Europe, by the way. I know you're across that story as well. I broke that last week. It's massive. Europe should be massive with MMA, and it's not as big as it should be. The only guy that really has cut a swathe in recent times in the UFC, of course, Darren Till. I know you're close to him. You know, you're close maybe to him like I was to Bisping years ago, to Dan Hardy at one time. And, you know, I was quite critical of Till getting the title shot when he didn't make weight. But my concern now is that he makes weight to fight Tyron Woodley, because it would be a travesty if he doesn't make that weight when those two men meet.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a concern for us all. He has missed weight badly two out of his last four fights. I think having spoken to Dan quite a bit, I think that he's provided me, I guess, enough reassurances that he's he's going to be taking this incredibly professionally this time, in terms of he's doing his full camp in Las Vegas. He's heading out to California tomorrow. Yeah. He'll be at the press conference on Friday, and then he's going to head straight to the UFC PI, where he's going to have all the people monitoring him over the next 4-5 weeks to make sure he does hit 170 in Dallas. So I'm not concerned by it, but I certainly understand why some people are.
I think it's a very close fight, by the way. He's stepping up. Tyron Woodley is a top, top level guy. Two of my favourite coaches in all MMA, masterminding the plans here, of course. Duke Rufus for Tyron Woodley, and the brilliant Colin Herron, K-Bon in Liverpool, will be masterminding Darren Till's game. I think it's a very close fight. I don't think Darren's been in against anyone as difficult as this, because Tyron Woodley can knock you out with a single punch. He's proven, as Darren did, that against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, Tyron had amazing, for a wrestler brawler, he showed such amazing patience for 50 minutes against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Clearly a game plan he wouldn't have wanted, but he showed incredible championship patience to take those two victories. I cannot split the two of them at the moment.
Yeah, no, I think the only thing I'll say about this fight is everyone's saying it's going to be extremely similar to the Woodley-Thompson fights that we've seen. But like you've just mentioned there, we have two masterminds pulling the strings in the background. I think that would be too predictable, if anything. I think expect the unexpected, I think, is the way to go about this one. I don't know what it's going to look like when the two enter the octagon, but I don't think it would certainly be as... dull, I guess, is the Thompson versus Woodley fights are. I think you were saying there, I don't think Till has ever fought anyone as high caliber as Woodley, but at the same time, I don't think Woodley's ever fought anyone like Darren. So, let's see how it goes. It's intriguing. I understand the people saying that Darren doesn't deserve it, but at the same time, you can't blame the kid for taking it and bring on Dallas in fight. 5 weeks. I honestly can't wait for it. I think it's going to be a hell of a fight, and it's going to be outside of Conor, it's probably one of the more interesting fights the UFC can actually put on right now.
I agree with that very much. I think it's a great matchup. I thought about it straight away. I thought he deserved it. I don't agree with you on the level of opponent. I think if you look at Tyron Woodley's resume, I think it's much higher than Darren's, and I think he's got his work cut out, but I still rate him so highly that I think it's a very close fight. You know, when you think about the fact that, you know, he's beaten Paul Daly in Strikeforce, Tarek Safieddin, Jordan Meehan when he was still very raw and dangerous, back in 2012, that was, you know, Koscheck, Condit, McDonald, Don Hyun Kim, Kelvin Gastelum, Robbie Lawler, two fights for Stephen Thompson, Damian Maia. Jim, that is some resume.
For sure. I wasn't saying he hasn't put anyone on the same level.
Anyone like him. No, I agree.
Very different things to the table, I think, to a lot of the welterweights. And, we'll see. I think Tyron's the champion for a reason. I think, like you just ran through his kind of fight record there. It's incredible. But every dog has its day. And I think sometimes... we'll probably have a similar discussion about DJ in a minute.
These champions
will get beaten eventually.
It's a great segue for me. Let's move on to the 227 card in the Staples Center. Great venue, of course, in Los Angeles, California. There's been some great events. I remember covering years ago, covering some great events there. And boxing, of course, it's renowned as a fight venue. Let's start on the prelims. Someone you know well, you've been speaking to him today, Brett Johns, the Welshman, undefeated, of course, until he ran into Aljamain Sterling in April. Lost a unanimous decision, of course, in Atlantic City. He was worried about his future after that. Obviously, he'd been outstanding in his first three fights in the UFC. You know, he was a standout in Cage Warriors, bantamweight champion, so on. Came up the hard way, known as the Pikey, of course. 5'7", very powerful. 26 now, just reaching the peak of his career. Up against a very tough opponent, I think. They've given him a tough guy here. Munoz is a top-level guy. You know, really significant defeats in the last 3 or 4 years, really only to John Dodson. And there's no shame in that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think this is actually on a card you could say is a bit bare. I think this is actually one of the more exciting matchups. Like you're saying there, Brett, until he ran into Aljamain, was actually... you know, really making waves in the UFC. That obviously that calf slicer submission got him a lot of headlines back in 2017, and he really kind of came into that fight with Aljamain with a lot of momentum. Unfortunately, that wasn't his night in Atlantic City, and he came a bit unstuck. And I talked to him about, you know, how he felt losing for the first time in his career, and he said he found it refreshing that everyone didn't forget him back home, and that he was still greeted like a hero, and it kind of put a bit of a spring in his step to get back and get back fighting in less than, I think it's going to be 106 days since he, less than 4 months since he fought Aljamain. So he's come back quite quickly. He says he's been working on parts of his game that he didn't feel was so strong and that he got kind of exposed. But against Pedro Munoz, he's got a very, very hard opponent. Like we're saying there, his significant losses to John Dodson and Jimmy Rivera, I believe. He's a top level kind of bantamweight in a very, very talented division. I believe he's ranked number 9 at the moment. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for Brett to kind of put himself back amongst the top of the division. But he's going to have his work cut out for him on Saturday, that's for sure.
I think he gets the job done, and I think he gets it done by decision, Jim. I just think he's going to grind his way through this. He'll be resilient. He'll show all his skills. It's a big showcase for him. It's the last fight on the prelims. I'm going for him by decision in this fight.
Yeah, it's not often you talk to fighters and they say that they're going to win by decision. Normally they say that they're obviously out to finish the fight, submission or knockout. But actually, no, Brett was telling me the other day, I'm in it for the 15 minutes. I know it's going to be a war, probably going to get bloody. And he says he's going to be more than up for it. So I'm actually going to side with the honest one. I believe we're going to see a decision win for the Pikey.
It's amazing you can come on a podcast and say the Pikey, isn't it? Moving on to the main card. Really brilliant featherweight matchup. Cub Swanson, Renato Moicano, the Brazilian, of course. Hey, this is really, like, Cub I've known a long time. He's got an extraordinary story. You know, he's fighting Moicano from Distrito Federal, Brasilia. Cub has been involved, you know, in the W. I was looking at his record earlier. Through the WC and the UFC, he's been involved in 10 bonus fights, either fight of the night or the knockout of the night. He's got an incredible resume, and yet that tilt at the title, Jim, has always just evaded him, you know? It's fascinating, really, isn't it?
The Michael Bisping of the featherweight division, you could say.
Yeah, interesting, yeah.
You know, he just, and probably, unfortunately, not. Unlike Michael, probably isn't going to get that lucky break where he gets it. But who knows? Maybe this whole Max Holloway situation, opportunities can materialise. But this weekend, he's got to win, and he's got to beat a very, very talented Renato Moicano. I think maybe his performance against Calvin Kattar back in UFC 223 in Brooklyn got a bit overshadowed by all the crazy events that week. But it was an absolute masterclass in striking. It was a very, very accomplished performance. He didn't pick up a bonus that night, but I remember walking away from the arena thinking he probably should have got one, or at least a discretionary one. Again, we have Cub coming off the back of 2 losses, I believe, now, but both to very high level opposition. I think it's Frankie Edgar and Brian Ortega. So, you know, this is it's a big, big fight for Cub on Saturday. He normally performs well under pressure, but he's got a younger, perhaps more hungry opponent in front of him. So I'm going to pick first this time. I'm going to go for Moicano by decision.
Wow, that's fascinating. Well, look, anyone that's got a victory over Jeremy Stevens is worth something, which obviously Moicano's got. You know, it's a difficult one for me, this, because I think Cub, obviously, it's a great fight for Moicano, by the way, ranked 10 in the division in the UFC rankings, and Cub ranked at 5. Cub suffered 2 losses, of course, in 14 and 15, Edgar and Holloway, and then in his last 2, of course, last December and April, Ortega and Frankie Edgar. Now, I think Frankie Edgar's just got his number. I think he's a busier fighter with better athleticism in the stand-up. Ortega's a different animal. I think Ortega beats Cub Swanson 8 or 9 times out of 10. But this is, for me, a fascinating style matchup. If Cub Swanson is very hungry and he turns up in the mood to really put on a masterclass, which he can do, of course, but I just don't know, at the age of 34, whether he's still got it in him to defeat someone who is 29, same dimensions as him, probably slightly taller, slightly longer, as good, really good. He's black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. His Muay Thai is fantastic. He's very, very aggressive. It's a really difficult one. I am going to side with you on this as well and go Renato Moicano just by a sliver, but it wouldn't surprise me if a top level... I tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me if it got fight of the night again. and yet poor old Cub Swanson walks away with a decision or split points loss. I'm going Renato Moicano as well over the three rounds. Yeah, that really could be a great, great fight. Look, moving up to the two title fights then, we talked about Demetrius Johnson, you and I, off air as well. The Mighty Mouse himself looked fantastic in the workouts this week. You know, he's a different animal when he's such a beautiful human being. I was seeing him interviewed yesterday morning while I was having a pedicure over here. I was sitting there having a pedicure and Demetrius came on the news. He's so engaging. I wish he was a bigger star. He's fighting Cejudo for the second time, of course. Cejudo went away and tried to up his game. It's 2 and a bit years ago. He sorted Cejudo out very, very quickly. In fact, I remember going into that fight, people were saying, oh, you know, he got a late submission against Horiguchi, submission against Cariasso, a decision against Bagatinov, a decision against Johnson. Let's see something dramatic. And he was brutal in that first round against Cejudo. Cejudo went away, Jim, and he lost to Benavidez. And then he got his game together again, I think. He looks very composed. He looks more compact. He's not just relying on heavy hands anymore. And I think he's just got to be patient in this fight if he's got any chance of undoing the champion. Because every champion has an off night. And sometimes as a challenger, you have to go in there and just sit back and see what's going to happen and wait for your opportunities. Because Demetrius Johnson can be knocked out. He can be hurt. And I think we need to see a very patient Cejudo this time. And I understand he has worked on his game in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the two today at the open workouts, we had Demetrius, his ever graceful self, looking very good on the pads and just very in tune with his kind of training partner. Conversely, we had Henry Cejudo, didn't work out, did a bit of a ramble, if I'm honest with you, with his coaches. It was a bit of an aimless kind of thank you for the fans for turning up sort of deal that went on for probably a bit too long. And he just looked very drawn out and just a bit, just looked like he was already, you mentioned his weight cut quite a few times during the 15 minutes that we saw him. Maybe that'll play a part. He's an old school wrestler. He does like big weight cuts and maybe the, you know, California State Athletic Commission will have something to say about that come Saturday night, because all the fighters actually have to be within 8% of their weight class come fight night. That's something to watch out for. But
and tougher for the flyweights, of course, always.
Yeah, for sure. But I just look at the two and I look at what Cejudo's done since that fight, first fight with Demetrius, and whilst he has improved, he has made improvements. I just think DJ's on a different level. On several different levels, numerous levels higher, and I just don't think he's either had the time, I don't think even the capability to ever get to where Demetrius is at his best. But like you say, this is a fight. Champions have their off nights, and there's always a chance. And what can you say? Cejudo has a chance. I don't rate it very high, though. I think DJ is going to pull something very special out again this weekend. I think he's going to go out there wanting to make another point that, you know, he owns this division, and I think he's going to get the job done by submission again. Maybe a new one compared to the mighty whiz bar that we saw last time, or whatever he ended up calling it. But maybe we'll see something even fresher this time as well.
Well, it's his 12th defence of the title. He's held the title, of course, for 6 years. I'm going to throw a curveball here. I think he's going to have an off night finally. I know he's the consummate pro, and I'm going for Cejudo to win by late third or early fourth round knockout. I just think it's coming, because no one reigns forever. I hope he proves me wrong, but I just have a feeling that Cejudo may just do this. DJ's into his 30s now. Cejudo's more experienced. Okay, you know, the likes of Sergio Pettis and Wilson Heiss aren't necessarily of the same level, but I just feel there's something in the air, and I'm just going to go for that. I'm going to go for an upset on Saturday night, and I'm going Cejudo to be crowned new champion. Of course, they'll fight each other, probably on the October the 6th card, with Conor McGregor and Khabib, but that's who I'm going for. There you go. There you go.
The second person that said that to me today, you know, so who do you third round knockout?
Who was the other person that said that to you today then? Can you remember?
Adam Hill, of the Review Journal.
What, the giant Adam Hill?
Yes, he is. He said he told Dana White that he said he's only ever predicted two fights to Dana. The first one was the Weidman versus Anderson Silva fight.
Wow.
Where he told Dana that that a Weidman would knock him out. And it happened. And then for some reason this week, he's told Dana White that Henry Cejudo is going to knock out Demetrius Johnson.
So yeah, yeah.
There you go.
No, I just have these feelings sometimes. I'm watching them. I've been watching him a lot. I've met him several times, but I've been watching him a lot, and I've been watching DJ, and I just got this feeling myself. Let's see. Maybe I'll get you on next week and we can chew the cud on this. And look, the bantamweight title, Tyler Jeffrey Dillashaw, one of my favourites. I really do like him and his family. I like his girlfriend. I just love what TJ Dillashaw stands for. Of course, back in action against a guy who he really doesn't like, who got Dominic Cruz out of the way for him. And Cody Garbrandt, obviously he knocked him out in November last year. The two guys are back in action. He got the belt back, and I feel this is just going to be an amazing fight. I don't think Garbrandt fights in any different ways. I think he's got one way to fight. I remember Michael Bisping on the Ultimate Fighter series always telling me to watch out for TJ Dillashaw because he's so talented, and I think we see that with him more and more. I love seeing him over boxing with Vasyl Lomachenko, trying to learn those kind of skills. Cody has got one way, and if you don't respond and have a great game plan against him, he's just going to come, he's going to knock your lights out. He's the kind of guy that's going to rearrange your face. And if TJ isn't on his game, Cody will rearrange his face and he'll take the belt back. But I do feel that TJ, rather like Demetrius, is getting better and better and better. And I think this is going to be a barnstormer. And I think this time, TJ will win by fourth round knockout.
Yeah, I mean, the first time TJ did what he shouldn't have done, which is he got drawn into a firefight in the first round, he nearly got knocked out, obviously, and just saved by the bell at the end of the first. And then in the second, we saw him implement his own game plan, using his distance, using kicks very effectively. Head kicks really kind of did brighten, you know, his, I guess, pathway to victory up in that fight. And looking at this fight, you know, it's very much like the last one we're talking about, Cejudo and DJ. I want to see something from the fighter who lost the first fight that is going to make me believe that they're going to win the rematch. And I'm afraid I can't do. I just don't see how Cody wins this fight. I think you're very correct in the fact that he does fight one way, and that, you know, we've seen that he's just not. We've not been able to see if he's improved or not since the first fight. So, I can only see this happening one way. I think it might go a bit longer, like you did to suggest. I think TJ might draw it out a bit longer this time. But again, I just see TJ finishing the fight and him retaining his bantamweight title on Saturday.
No, I completely agree. So you reckon, you think it's a late knockout or points, yeah?
I think it's going to be third or fourth round. TJ Dillashaw finish again. The one thing I really do want to mention about this, and I think it's significant, is the fact that it's like a revolving door with coaches at Team Alpha Male at the moment. There's a lot of uncertainty, especially with some of the coaching staff, but in TJ Dillashaw's corners, the ever settled, and his guy, his coach, Dwayne Ludwig, who again is just another genius of the game, especially in the striking department. I think, you know, but between the two of them, I think they would have worked out the piece of the puzzle that, I guess, that Cody brings to the party. And like I was saying there, I think he's going to get the job done and get a finish again.
No, listen, TJ Dillashaw and Bang Ludwig are the perfect storm, frankly. I've been around them many times and big fan of Bang anyway. He's a great guy. As you say, you've been chasing dreams, describing scenes. There's even screams. Get out there and drink some Jim Beam, Jim Edwards. You can follow him at MMA underscore Jim on Twitter. Jim, thanks very much for joining me on this episode of the UFC Buzz podcast.
I appreciate it, Gareth. It's always good to talk about the fights. And like you say, we have to do have some cracking ones this weekend. And who knows, it might be the return of the Mac on Friday. So business is about to pick up, as they say.
Absolutely. Thanks. My thanks to Jim Edwards for joining me this week on the UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill. I'm Gareth A. Davis at Gareth A. Davies DT. Enjoy the fights. Enjoy the nights. We'll see you soon. It's all about who wins on the day. See you next time.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.